This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Agen Erev Shabbos Rabbeisai, as we prepare for Shabbos Shkolim, Haba Aleinu L'Toiva, Shabbos Mevarchim Chodesh Adar, Parshas Mishpatim. Well, there's something very interesting here in the Yoitzrois of Parshas Shkolim, and yes, in the Yoitzrois of Parshas Shkolim, I guess if you don't say it during the evening, we'll say it now. It talks about something very interesting. It says, "Oz, then Ra'isa, you saw, Visiparta, you counted, Vehechanta, you prepared, Vechakarta, you investigated, Umadadata, and you measured, Vechalta, you sustained, Vishakalta, Viamarta, Viamadata, Vitsavarta, Ufakarta, Vechashavta, Vesikamta, Umanisa, Vesafarta, Vekatsavta, Vecharatsta, Vegozarta, Vetipachta, Veshiarta, Vehibarata, Vehevanta, Vehiskalta, Vesharta, Vesakarta, Vechasavta, Vecharatata, Vechakakta, Vetsianta, Vecharata, Velimarata, Vehidata, Vechivisa, Vehiresa, Vegozarta, Vetsivisa, Vekaras, Vanisa, Vedibarta, Vyamarta, Kol, Minion, Umifkad, Vecheshbain, Umisparav, Komishkova Fellas. What in the world is going on over here? What are we doing? What are we saying? That the Ribbono Shel Olam did this, that. My high. Marav Rabbeisai. It's a very interesting thing. There's something called Shabbos, right? And what do we do on Shabbos? We rest. And what do we rest from? Well, we do not rest. It's not a day of relaxation. Shabbos is not a day of relaxation. No, sorry to tell you. Shabbos is not a day to rest for the weary. It's we don't do malacha. That's it. It's not like hard things you're not allowed to do and easy things you're allowed to do. You can't turn on a light switch, but you can move your table. So what do you mean? It's harder to move a table than to flick on a light switch. It has nothing to do with easy and hard. It's all about malacha. Why do we rest from malacha? The answer is because Hashem created the world in 6 days and He rested on the seventh day. Beautiful. And from where do we learn out that you're not allowed to do malacha from? The Mishkan. Marav Rabbeisai, why in the world would we learn out that what things are you not allowed to do? They weave the tapestries for the Mishkan, so we're not allowed to weave. And they cook the dyes for the Mishkan, so we're not allowed to cook. And they wrote for, and so we're not allowed to write. And they built, okay. Well, that's very nice, but why in the world do we not to do the things that they needed to build the Mishkan? That's not the reason we keep Shabbos. We don't keep Shabbos because of anything in the Mishkan. We keep Shabbos because Hashem created the world and rested on the seventh day. So what does the Mishkan got to do with it? The Chai Adam writes in Hilchos Shabbos Klal Tes, Tziva Boreinu V'yotzreinu, Shulay Lasus Malacha B'yom HaShabbos. Our Creator and our Fashioner commanded us not to do work on Shabbos. Kidachsiv, like it says, V'yoyim hashvi Shabbos Hashem alaykecha loisase kol malacha. V'kiblu chazal. You know what malacha is? Malacha is those things needed for the malachas hamishkan. Zoireya, choyresh, koitzer, ma'amer, dash, zoire, boirer, toichen, merakid, lush, oife, Mevashel. Fine. So the things that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos are those things needed to build the Mishkan. So what? Ma Shemitah Eitzel Har Sinai. Why would the Mishkan be the Makar from where you're not allowed to do Malacha? We don't keep Shabbos for any connection to the Mishkan. Another question. This is my favorite question. You ready for my favorite question? Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Yoideya Hoya Betzalel Letzarif Oisio Shenivra Boshamayim Varet. Betzalel knew how to combine the letters from which God created heaven and earth. You know what my question is? Good for Betzalel. Good for him. What do I care that he knew how to do that? And my third cousin, you know what he knows? He knows the whole telephone book by backward. He could say it backward. He memorized it. Okay, why do I care that Bezalel knew the letters with which Hashem created heaven and earth? Good for him. I mean, what's it got to do with me? Okay, he knew how to. Okay, you know, I'm sure he's a nice guy, Bezalel. I'm sure if he was around, I'd go get a bracha from him. Where's Bezalel buried, by the way? We'll put him on the case. We'll find him. Next thing. But very nice. He knew the place from which Hashem created heaven and earth.
In the Midbar.
Why did he have to know that? Who asked him to know that? What difference does it make? He built the Mishkan. Who cares? He knew the letters with which Hashem created heaven and earth. My rabbi said, I once said this over, but I never said it over like this. There's an incredible sefer, and the reason why I'm very moved to say this over is I was just at his kever. I was just at his kever in Tveria, in the ancient cemetery in Tveria, and I didn't even know he was buried there. Not Bezalel. The Pa'as HaShulchan. Who's the Pa'as HaShulchan? So this morning, try to find a little bit of time that I didn't have. I'll tell you a little bit about the Pa'as HaShulchan. See, the Vilna Gaon had a dream. And his dream was to establish Yushalayim as a Torah center for the entire world. To be Mekayim the Nevuah, Kimitzion, Teitzei Torah, Dvar Hashem Yushalayim. And even during his lifetime, steps were being taken to make it a reality. Now, the city of Shaklov in Russia was a stronghold of Misnagdish. It was a very Misnagdish city. And it was a bustling city. And there was a movement called the Chazon Tzion movement, which was very much promoted by the Talmidei Hagra. The beginning of the 19th century, 70 Nefashos went to Eretz Yisrael. And they were Ayelas HaShachar, led by Rav Menachem Mendel of Shklov. They came there in 1808. They first came to Tveria, and then they settled in Tzfas. Two more parties of Prushim joined them. Now there are about 200 Talmidei Hagra in that region. Okay, the undisputed leader of the Prushim was Rabbi Yisrael of Shklov, a very close Talmud of the Vilna Gaon. And he felt that he would play a very important role in bringing the dream of the Gra to reality. He was one of the first. His grandfather had come 30 years earlier, and now Rabbi Yisrael was going to be the one to see it to fruition. Now, let's understand, there was always a battle between Tzfas and Yerushalayim. And we've discussed this in the past, but never this detail of it. And that is, now we're talking about the beginning of the 19th century, the Muslims had a bizarre rule for 100 years that Ashkenazim cannot live in Yerushalayim. They didn't ban Jews, they banned Ashkenazim. Talk about prejudice. You hear this? The Muslims only let Sfaradim, and there were actually Gedolim who masqueraded as Sfaradim. I mean, it's very different how you have to change your everything, you know. There were Gedolim, I can tell you who. They masqueraded as Sfaradim to be able to live in Yerushalayim. Who? Rav Menachem Mendel of Shklov himself, and others. Menachem Mendel. I don't know what he called himself. however you're going to spin it, it's not an easy one. Rav Menachem Mendel of Shklov himself masqueraded as a Sfaradi. He davened in the yeshiva of Bethel. Okay. Be it as it may, Rabbi Yisrael felt at the time it was important to go to Tzfas because it was considered fatal for Ashkenazim to go to Yerushalayim. Can you imagine 200 years ago, an Ashkenazi was endangering his life to go to Yerushalayim. So they settled Tzfas, and now you have, for the first time, Sfardim and the Hasidim are there already. The last earthquake was 1759, and the housing had been built up, but not to the extent that these new Misnagdim needed. And how are these Misnagdim going to deal with the Hasidim in Tzfas? Because in Europe, there's no mix. They didn't go. But they decided, you know, for the sake of peace, and really for pragmatic reasons, that the community was too small for hostility, and they made a concerted effort to get along, and they did. They did get along with B'Shalayim. So they opened up a Beis Medrash Hagra in Tzfas. 40 men learned their Yom of Alayla. They learned Gemara with Shulchan Aruch and the Bir Hagra. Based on the Gra, they learned Chumash and Rashi. And, you know, one of the great highlights of my trip, I met a good friend, Rabbi Mervis, who's, I think, director of outreach and operations in the Breslov operation in Tzfas. And he would find this very interesting. At the time, Tzfas did not have a good library. And they requested all the immigrants coming from Russia, bring Svarim with you, bring Svarim with you. So now you have, and now Rabbi Mervis is also building up a great library in Tzfas. So just imagine you have over here the Masnagdim, Tamidei Hagra, you have the Svaradim in Tzfas, you have the Hasidim in Tzfas. During these years, two great Hasidic leaders came to Tzfas. The Be'er Mayim Chaim, Reb Chaim of Chernowitz, came in 1813, passed away very soon after, 1818. And finally, Rav David Shlomo Ivshitz, the author of Levush Esrad, the author of the Arvei Nachal. Great work, he passed away in 1814. The Arvei Nachal, I think, is buried right next to the Bas Ayin, Rav Ram of Avarish. Okay. Obviously, one of the major problems they had was funding. There was an old system of chalukah. The old system of chalukah was that people would, shulachim would go to Europe and collect money, but that was always fraught with danger. First of all, even if you were successful in collecting the money, you got to get the money home. That means you have to be alive, you have to survive the trip, you have to survive the pirates and the marauders and the ganovim, the gazlanim, and all the chayos rois, hamasrag shois, baderach. So they set up a new system where basically they put cemented tzedakah boxes in every city, and then once a year the mashulach would go and... Okay. Lamaisa Rabbi Yisrael Mishkolov tried to collect the money for the system. By the time he gets back with the little money that he has, it was not nearly enough to recover the debt that he was in. But then came 1814. 1814 was a very tragic year for the Jewish people. One of the worst plagues in our history ravaged the Galilee in 1814. Most of Tzfas was deserted. 200 years ago only. Most of the city was deserted. 500 Purushim who were in Tzfas, they all left. Rabbi Yisrael came to Yerushalayim. Nebuch, he writes in the beginning of the Pasah Shulchan, he writes on page Dalet Amud Beis. He writes as follows. His wife, when they're about to get to Akko, his wife died. As he continues the journey, the other members of his family died. When they reached Yerushalayim, most of his children died. Until finally he himself is gripped with illness. He's barely conscious, he writes. He made a neder that if God saves him, he will write a sefer on Hilchos Eretz Yisrael, the halachos of the farming the land, of dealing with the land, of trumos and masrois. He says that he cried and he cried until he was overcome with sleep. He dreamt that someone approached him, put his hand on him, and said, you've been stricken and you will be healed. And basically, Rabbi Yisrael pledged to return to Tzfas, and he put aside his personal losses. Now, I mentioned, at the time, to stay in Yerushalayim was dangerous as an Ashkenazi. Rav Nachum Mendel masqueraded as a Sephardi. He decided to go back. He has no family. Who's he going to marry? He's a Masnagid. And he did something which was big news all over the world. He married a Hasidish lady. And it says over here that it caused quite a flurry in Europe. But he had many sons and daughters from her. She was very devoted to him, and he was able to recover his life. Can you imagine the Talmud of the Gra, Mamish? Can you imagine a Talmud of the Gra marrying a Hasidish woman? That's what happens, you know? Not everything in life is perfect. And that's what he had to do. So,
aren't they all buried in Tveria? Those 300 kavara, it says those are talmidim of the Gra. They're buried around Menachem Mendel Levitevs.
Maybe I know Rabbi Yisrael Mishkolov is there, but here's something that's quite interesting. The Pasah Shulchan wrote his commentary, and this is what we have. This is what we have over here. Now, when I was in Tzfas, so I met my friend, I mentioned Rabbi Mervis, and he sent me a whole hesped that Rabbi Yisrael Mishkolov, now Rabbi Yisrael Mishkolov comes back to Tzfas, but unfortunately, there was a final blow. And the final blow was the great earthquake of 1837. 1837, the city was leveled, completely decimated, completely destroyed. At the time, Rabbi Yisrael was in Yerushalayim for the dedication of the first ceremony of the Purushim Shul. His family was in Tveria, and during the eulogy, he fainted. He was overcome with grief. I have over here, and the truth is, my friend Rabbi Mervis sent this to me when I was in Tzfas, but I did some research, and I discovered that he wrote a letter to the Chassam Sofer. Rabbi Yisrael Mishkov wrote a letter to the Chassam Sofer. And he wrote a kina for the earthquake of 1837. And he wrote a beautiful kina. So I'm reading to you now from the Sefer Igroi Sofer, from the famous collection of letters of the Chassam Sofer, Rabbi Kiveger. He writes, Tzfas is Rosh Tevois, Tzadi Pei Tav. Tzfas Pisoim Tahargu. That means Tzfas will suddenly be killed. Tzfas Pisoim Tivlu. Tzfas will suddenly be swallowed. Tzfas Pisoim Tatsiki. Titsaki. Tzfas will cry out suddenly. Pisoim Tivku Tzadikim. Suddenly the Tzadikim will cry out. Perushim Tmimim Titmu. The righteous Tmimim will be sealed. However, Tzfas Pedusenu Tiyim. Tzfas will be redeemed. Tzfas Pisoim Takumi. Tzfas will suddenly rise up. Pisoim Techaye Ma'ana. So basically, as Rabbi Yisrael Mishkalov puts it, even though Tzfas will suddenly be decimated, it will also suddenly rise. And if you go there today, one of the most beautiful cities in the world, and Baruch Hashem is having a rejuvenation and rising up to its former splendor, we hope, even more and more. But this is the godless of Rabbi Yisrael Mishkalov. And now I'm going to tell you one of the most astounding things that Rabbi Yisrael Mishkalov ever said. Okay? Yes,
you know. I'd like to give a historic background. You know, I'm always encouraging people to have the Hasidic approach, the Simcha. And my great-grandfather was named Bezalel Chaimovich. He lived in Chotkov. He was the Balkorev for Rav Friedman, who was a Chotkov Rav. And the 1890s, this is a family history from my ancestors, he came to the Rav and he says, I want to go to Eretz Yisrael. There was a whole movement to go to Eretz Yisrael. The Rebbe wasn't so happy because the infrastructure, the yeshivas weren't there, etc., etc. He said, Rebbe Tzalel, who would be my Balkorev? So he didn't...
He didn't go.
He didn't go. So when you answer Bezalel, that hit a historic note.
Okay. Very good, thank you for that. Says Rabbi Yisrael Mishkalov in the Hakdama to the Pasach Shulchan that he heard from the Vilna Gaon himself, pshat in the piyut of the Yoytzus for Pasach Shulchan, get a load of this, that we wanted to know, what are these things? Siparta, Hechanta, Chakarta, Madarata. We also asked, why in the world do we learn out the things you're now to do from the Mishkan? What's the Mishkan got to do with anything? The answer is like this. All of these things that are mentioned in the piyut are the 39 activities with which the Ribbono Shel Olam built the world. You know how many lashonos are here? Says the Gra. Siparaisa, siparta, hechanta, chakarta, madarata, chauta, shakauta, amarata, savarta. 39 malachas with which Hashem created the world. If you want to know what these 39 words are, it's Meruma Zalamid Tes Malach Shamay Sabarashis that Hashem created the world and Hashem rested from. So now the million-dollar question is, Marv Rabbeisai, but that's not what Chazal say. Chazal say that we don't rest on Shabbos. The malachas that we're now to do are not the 39 things that Hashem didn't do on Shabbos. It's the 39 things that they used to build the Mishkan. So if you look in the Sefer Iyun Tefillah, the Iyun Tefillah quotes the Hakdama of Rabbi Yisrael Mishkalov in the Pasach Shulchan who heard from the Gra. And then the Iyun Tefillah says, I want to add. He says, why do we learn out the things you now do on Shabbos from the Melechas HaMishkan? He says, the reason for that we rest on Shabbos is because Hashem rested B'Briyas HaOlam. And now the million-dollar question is, how in the world would we know what God rested from? How would we know what Hashem did what Hashem did to build the world. How are we going to know what Hashem did to build the world?
He spoke.
What do we? How do we know? The answer is the Mishkan is a microcosm of the universe. The Mishkan is a microcosm of the world. Whatever malachas were needed to build the Mishkan were the malachas that were needed to build the world. Memela, it's not a stira. Well, what Shabbos? Are we commemorating Hashem rested from the world? Or are we commemorating the malachas needed to build the Mishkan? It's the same thing. Hashem created the world with 39 malachos. That's marumas in the Yoytzos of Parashas Shkolim. The way that we know what malachos were used to create the world are the malachos needed to build the Mishkan. Why? Because here's the key. The key is the Mishkan is a microcosm of the universe. Umi ba besayd Hashem ladas is malachos chabriyas ha'olam that we should rest from. And since we know from the Kadmonin the Mishkan was mechuvan keneged the world, therefore whatever was in the Mishkan was in the Bria Sa'olam. So I want to suggest, you know why Chazal are telling us that Bezalel knew the letters with which Hashem created Shemayim Ba'aretz? Because otherwise, how in the world did he build the Mishkan? If the Mishkan is a microcosm of the world, that means if Bezalel built the Mishkan, he must have known how to build the world. How could he possibly have created the world? Answer is, he knew the letters with which Hashem created Shemayim Ba'aretz. But if he didn't know them, he would never have been able to make a Mishkan, because the Mishkan is a microcosm of the universe. That's the Pshat. Take a look at number 6. The Gemara says, Masechta Megillah. It says, by the building of the Mishkan, V'aksiv ayiva yom ha-shmini, V'tanya oisai, Hayom, Haysa Simcha Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kiyom Shenivru Bai Shamayim Va'aretz. That the day that the Mishkan was built was a day of Simcha to Hashem, like the day that heaven and earth was created. What's the day that the Mishkan was built got to do with the day that heaven and earth was created? Why was God as happy the day that the Mishkan was created as the day that heaven and earth was made? The answer is the same thing. The Mishkan is a redo of the world. The Mishkan is a microcosm of the universe. Whatever simcha Hashem had when the world was created, he had that same simcha when the Mishkan was built. Now look, now there's a Medrash Rabbah in Parshas Nasa that adds another dimension to this. The Rabbi Shua ben Levi said in the name of Hashem Arichai, it doesn't say Lahakim HaMishkan, Ela Lahakim Es HaMishkan. What's the Es Bala Rabbis? The answer is, when the Mishkan was built, something else was built. Listen to this. Mishkan acher hekemimai, shenikra oyal. Another Mishkan was erected with it that's called an oyal. The same way the Mishkan is called oyal mai. Like it says, vayim tachim ka'oyal ha-shaves, ad shalayhukam ha-mishkan hayahayilam raises. Until the Mishkan was built, the world was unstable. Once the Mishkan was built, the world had stability. Therefore, it says, L'hakim es ha-mishkan. In other words, one more prat. Not only is the Mishkan a microcosm of the universe, but until the Mishkan was built, the world was wobbly. The world has no stability. The Mishkan gave stability to the world. You know why Bezalel needed to know the letters with which Hashem created heaven and earth? Because heaven and earth were not officially created until the Mishkan was built. The Mishkan was the final step in building the world. And the Mela, how do we know which malachos were needed to create the world? The malachos that Bezalel needed to build the Mishkan. Let me draw one analogy here, and then I'm going to tell you something which is out of control. Okay? Really, unbelievable. Unbelievable.
So what sort of mamor is that in Yivroilo?
What were they? I guess an Amira was like a general category, and there within it there must have been more detailed works. Well, this is all analogy. He doesn't need Amira either, right? It says that one stuff from Arya Kaplan. It says Hashem created this. The Olam Haba is a Yod. This world is a Hay. Well, you know what's the meaning? The meaning is when Chazal say they created this world with a Hay, this is a way of saying the easiest word in the Hebrew alphabet to say is Hay. You don't even have to move your lips. That's a way of saying how little was required of the Ribbono Shel Olam to create the world. Be it as it may, look at number 8. The Medrash says, Amar Rav Yaakov, Rav Isi, Lamahu Oimer Hashem, Ohavti, Ma'ain Beisecha, U'makayim Mishkan Kvaidecha, Bishvil Sheshakol Keneged Brias Olam. It says that, Hashem, I love your Mishkan. Why? because it's connected to the creation of the world. On the first day it says, Hashem created the heaven and the earth. And guess what else? And it says, Noite Shemaim Kairia, that the heaven is like a curtain. The Mishkan had curtains. On the second day it says, Hashem made a rakia as a havdalah, to be mavdu b'mayim l'mayim. And the Mishkan also, v'hivdila ha'paroichas. On the third day it says, Mayim. The Mishkan, there was Mayim. On the Revi, there were Ma'irais. The Mishkan, the Menorah, was the sun. On the fifth day, birds. The Mishkan also, there were birds as Karbanais. On the sixth day, Hashem created man. The Mishkan, it says man, the Kohen Gadol. Bashvi, Vayichu HaShamayim, and in the Mishkan, Vatechal Kol HaVoidah. Bebriyas HaOilam, it says, Vayivarach HaLakim, and in the Mishkan, Vayivarach Oysam Moshe. Bebriyas HaOilam, Vayichal HaLakim, V'mishkan, Vayibiyam Kalos Moshe. Everything in the world, it was Vayikadesh, and in the Mishkan, Vayimshach Vayikadesh. Lama, HaMishkan Shokul Keneged Shamayim Ba'aretz. And just like heaven and earth are Eidos for Klal Yisrael, so too, the Mishkan is Eidos for Klal Yisrael. Okay, my Rabbi, check this out. Fasten your seatbelts. So, we know how many malachas are there. 39 malachas. And how many of the malachas are mentioned in the Chumash? None. Doesn't say Ksiva. Doesn't say Ariga. Doesn't say Dash. Mefarek. Lash. None of them. Makabe Patish. None of the malachas. But, there's one exception. Say, really? And the Gemara picks up on that. Some say, you know why? To teach that a Havar is a lav. Havar is not a skila. According to some, it's only a lav. Some say, no, it's lechalik. Yeah? I'm not available. I'm giving share to them. It says, sir, don't light a fire on Shabbos. What do you mean, don't light a fire on Shabbos? Why is this the only malacha that it enumerates? Why is this the only malacha that it says? So the Gemara says, machloik is one man da'amar is the lav yotzeis, one man da'amar is lechalek yotzeis. But on a deeper meaning, says the Imre, lechalek means like lelav. One is to teach you that it's only a lav and it's not a kares, and one is to teach you that it mentions one specifically to teach you don't have to violate all 39 to be over on Shabbos. Even if you just violate one, you're still considered being over Shabbos. But still, of all the 39 malachos, why would it specifically say, if Eish, it could have picked any one malacha, and from there we'll learn, you only have to violate one, you don't have to violate the other. You could ask in the other Manda Amar that it's only a lav. Why is this malacha more kuladik than any other malacha? But according to what we said, it comes out incredible. What are the things we're not allowed to do on Shabbos? The 39 malachas that were needed to build a Mishkan, but not just to build a Mishkan. What thing, the 39 malachas needed to build a Mishkan are the 39 things needed to create the world. There happens to be one malacha that was clearly not needed to create the world. You know what that is? Eish! How do I know? Because there was no fire in the world yet. Because the Gemara tells us that how was fire created? Fire was created in Matzoi Shabbos. Other Marishan said it's rather dark outside right now. You know? And he didn't know what to do, so he banged two stones together and he produced fire. That means the first fire of creation was Matzah Shabbos. That means it wasn't part of Ma'aseh Bereishis. If it's not part of Ma'aseh Bereishis, according to what we're saying, then you shouldn't be Chayim on Shabbos. So that's why the Torah says, you're right. Even though it's not part of Ma'aseh Bereishis, you still can't do it. That's the reason why, says the Yimrei Emes, why the Torah specifically says, see, until what we learned, you would have said, what do you mean? The things you're now to do on Shabbos are the things that are needed for the Mishkan. Fire was needed in the Mishkan. No! The things needed in the Mishkan are revealing to us the things needed to create the world, but we know fire was not needed to create the world. Fire is not needed to create the world. You should be able to do it on Shabbos, says Imre Emes. That's why the Torah has to go out of its way and say, Le'savaru eish b'chol mashvaseichem b'yoyim ha-Shabbos. We should appreciate all the malachas that were needed to create the world, and we should have a Shabbos where we know, by the way, before we go, give me a, that before we, the word shekel, it's very interesting. What's the name of the masechta? Shkalim. That is the worst possible name you could ever come up with. Because you don't give a shekel, you give a machzas a shekel. Should we call masechta machzas a shekel? Ha'ashir lo yarbe! So Hajjalabi was, why would they name the masechta the thing you're not allowed to do? Shkalim. Okay, you ready for this? Take out your pens. Write the word shekel. Okay? Don't say I'm too tired. You're not too tired.
430.
No, I'm not a gematria. Not every time I tell you to write something is a gematria. Shekel. No. No. Shekel. You ready? Shekel is like this. We're going to do atbash.
Lakshan.
No lakshan. What's shekel? Shin is a? Kuf. Is a dalet. Lamed is a chaf. What do you get? No? Gematria, bays. Now it's time for gematria. When I don't want gematria, you're up to gematria. You have to follow the procedure. 26. What's this 26? Thank you. Could you give a shekel b'zman hazeh? No. Because Hashem's name is machzis. Hashem's name is kiyara keska. His name is half. So b'zman hazeh, you can only give a machzis a shekel. Because shekel is ba'at ba'ash yud kevavke. B'zman hazeh, says the Sefer Maaseh Rekeach. Rabbi Lezer of Amsterdam. You know why you can only give a machzis a shekel? You can only give a machzis a shekel because shekel is yud kevavkei. So you can only give half of that, right? But lost it, lava yehesh me rabba. Hashem's name will be shalem. You'll be able to give a shekel gamur, and therefore the name of the masechta is not for now, but it's for lost it, lava. We should be zoicha shekel yisa. We should be zoicha to give the shekel shalem vias kol tzem her yamino. Amen.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.